Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. And on Tuesday, a cyber attack that first appeared in Ukraine quickly spread across Russia and Europe. There were a few networks affected here in the U.S., but Ukrainian officials called the attack unprecedented in its scale. The ransomware shut down computers at some of the world's biggest companies, including Russia's biggest oil company, even prompting their Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine to switch to manual radiation monitoring. Infected computers displayed a familiar message now to many users that the files on the computer have been encrypted and can't be uncovered unless the victim pays a $300 ransom in Bitcoin. Now, this attack appears to contain code from an NSA hacking tool that was stolen, leaked, and then used in the WannaCry ransomware attack that infected computers in more than 100 countries just this past May. Siobhan Gorman has more. She's director at the Brunswick Group. That's an advisory firm where she specializes in cybersecurity and privacy.
It seems to have originated from the same set of NSA tools that unleashed the WannaCry virus a month or so ago. You know, I think what we're seeing is just an amped up version of that virus that is now circulating. It looks like, whatever hacking group purloined this strain of it basically took it and added some additional components that makes it that much harder to stop.
What does the virus do?
Well, it basically locks down, it encrypts, in some cases, entire hard drives on computers, and basically says you need to pay us $300 or the equivalent of $300 in Bitcoin if you want to have access to your machines. And if they lock down certain types of machines, say in hospitals, all of a sudden you have procedures that can't go ahead.
Is the attacker's motivation known here? Is it for sure that this is just ransom for money, or is there any concern that this could be an attack or even a dry run by some state or non-state political actor here?
Well, there are certainly concerns about it. And the interesting thing about, frankly, these shadow brokers tools, which was essentially a cache of NSA cyber weapons that was stolen from NSA probably around last summer or so, is that people thought that the shadow brokers group that apparently stole these tools might be connected to, Russia or the Russian government or hackers in Russia. It hasn't been proven. And the FBI, as far as I know, is still looking into where, how that happened in the first place. But what happened was these tools were then unleashed publicly a few months ago by the shadow brokers. And so now they are available to anybody who wants to pick them up and adapt them for their use. And so there was a theory, and I don't know that it's actually been proven, that the WannaCry virus was unleashed by North Korea. So there's been a lot of speculation about state involvement with these tools, which obviously had an origin with a state as well, the U.S. government.
Siobhan Gorman, maybe the strangest part about this story is the fact that some of this malicious code does come from the National Security Agency, our own NSA. And a lot of analysts like you were very critical after WannaCry and even last summer about the NSA's reaction to this theft, how they handled it, and how they advised the public. Does that criticism continue now? And what has the NSA done?
Well, what the NSA did was wait quite a few months after the tools were stolen to let Microsoft know that NSA had identified a vulnerability that could be exploited in a pretty significant way to get into, corporate computer systems or, possibly government computer systems and others. And I think that what hopefully we will see out of the unleashing of these viruses is a little bit more of a debate about how NSA stockpiles these types of attacks without letting companies know that there's a major vulnerability that in order to protect their customers, they should really patch. These are called zero-day vulnerabilities. And in fact, there was a panel that studied potential NSA reforms in the wake of the Edward Snowden disclosure. And that panel actually recommended that NSA stop stockpiling these 0 days. That was something that NSA fought very, very hard and won on. So they still have this ability, but it's I think, an important thing for us to really think about as a matter of U.S. policy.
And you mentioned Microsoft. I mean, WannaCry attacked Microsoft computers because of this vulnerability in Windows. They released a giant security patch that everybody was supposed to download. A few weeks later, a new ransomware attack. Are users who use Microsoft and Windows who downloaded the patch, are they protected now?
They are protected more. However, there are some additional bells and whistles that were attached to this latest version that we saw emerge yesterday. And so it steals the credentials that you can use to log on as well. So even if you have the patch, it does have some ability to break into your computer anyhow and lock it down.
Are individual users at risk here, or is this mostly an institutional attack?
Well, it depends on how individual users basically patch their equipment. I think that what we're hearing about are the corporate ones, but there's no reason why it wouldn't affect some individual users if their computer systems weren't patched. Usually Windows will now push out these patches to individual users. So if people have that automated patching capability enabled on their computer, then it will happen. But certainly there's no reason why anybody who's not using these Microsoft products wouldn't be at risk if they didn't use the patch.
Siobhan Gorman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Siobhan Gorman specializes in cybersecurity and privacy at the Brunswick Group.